live.
We're back.
Episode 6 of Read Between the Lines.
That's right.
I'm your boy Daniel. We got Q. I always mess that up for some reason. I don't know why. But hope everyone's doing okay. And how you doing, man?
I'm doing great on this Thursday afternoon.
Yeah, we started to record earlier in the week today, yeah. So hopefully we can get this out to you guys sooner. Right. But a lot going on, man. A lot going on this week.
Think so?
Yeah, man. This has been a lot going on. You know, in world of entertainment and just in general, man. So I got some stories that I want us to kind of run through, and but one of the things that, you know, it was just kind of all over the interwebs, apparently, for some reason. It was this whole Taylor Swift thing. People were talking about some of the lyrics that she had in one of her songs from her new album that dropped last weekend. I don't know if you had a chance to check out the album or the song.
No, I haven't.
No, but I'm sure you heard probably some of the controversy behind it.
Yeah.
Well, for people that don't know, there's been some, some outrage about some of the lyrics that Taylor Swift had in one of her songs. And just so that people know what these lyrics were saying, I'm just going to read them so that we can kind of get an idea of what people were, you know, I guess, outrage about, I suppose. And the lyrics are, and I quote, "My friends used to play a game where we would pick a decade we wish we could live in instead of this. I'd say the 1830s, but without all the races and getting married off to the highest bid." And then the song goes on to say, "Seems like it was never even fun back then. Nostalgia is a mind trick. If I had been there, I'd hate it," end quote. So that was the thing that made people outraged. I think the biggest thing that people were getting upset about was the fact that she talked about being back in the 1830s. Now, now that you kind of know the lyrics and you probably, you know, kind of saw this during the week or whatnot, what were your thoughts on that? I mean, is it a big deal? Not really.
It's not really a big deal, honestly. I think everybody had at one point in time wanted to know how life would be if they was born in the 60s or the 50s. Now, I don't know about the 1830s. that's a little back far, but everybody would like to know. I remember it was in high school. We used to write an essay or something, but if you was born in the early 50s and 60s, what would you imagine life would be like? That was it. So,
yeah, and I think whenever you kind of pick it apart a little bit, because people were making the
world so sensitive, man.
It really is, man. And everybody gets
triggered. But everything you do now, somebody has a problem with it. Regardless, I don't care who you are, it doesn't matter. You're always gonna rough somebody's feathers. So I think she just actually just having fun and just want to make it up just to see what would it be like. And I think that was it. And let it go. Like, what's the big deal?
You know? Yeah. I mean, people just make a big deal out of anything,
you know,
anything these days, because, you know, like even when you break down the words a little bit, you know, she talks about her and her friends playing this game of wanting to know what it was like in some other different decade. Now, she happened to pick 1830. But she goes on to say, without the racist and without getting married off to the highest bid. In other words, without all the racism that was going around, without the misogyny and the mistreatment of women back then, which during that time, that was prevalent. Mm-hmm. So, you know, she's right away saying, like, I would like to be in that era, but without those negative things. Now, of course, there's a lot of going on back then. But if you listen to the rest of the lyrics, she goes on to say, Seems like it was never even fun back then. So she starts to realize as she's writing this that, you know what? I don't really think it was that great back then when you really think about it. And she finishes by saying, nostalgia is a mind's trick. If I had been there, I would hate it. So she's almost like correcting herself as the song goes on, saying, you know what? Sometimes we idolize the past thinking it was so great. But when you really think about it, it wasn't that great after
right,
all.
Right.
So I think that she's trying to showcase to people that sometimes we idolize the past thinking, oh, man, that was such a great time back then. But sometimes we forget some of the dark periods that some of the dark things that happened during those times. And we sort of fantasize about a world that really doesn't exist, but in our minds. And I think she makes that correction later on in the song. So when I heard the song and I heard the lyrics for what they were, I'm like, damn, this song's fire. That's what I thought. I didn't think it was all this outrage that people are talking about. But like you said, you know, these days people are just soft as paper, man.
Yeah, they is. I mean, it just show you that, anyway, the internet... savages. They will shred anybody. It could be me, it could be you, or it could be Taylor Swift. It doesn't matter. People are so quick to comment regardless. It doesn't matter what the situation may be or if it was good music or not. You're always gonna have somebody gonna have something to say. Give they comment. It just that's how it is, you know.
Now of course, you know, being someone as famous as she is, you know, she's always going to be criticized for right. whatever she does, who she dates, where right. she's at. Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I don't think it's going to phase her anyway.
No.
And, you know, people are not even going to talk about this by next week, you know.
Next week, they probably already stopped by lunchtime.
Yeah, man, it's crazy.
She could dye her hair coal black and they was to talk about that.
Yeah, for sure.
She can cut it all off and be bald.
Yeah.
And they will talk about that. So.
A la Britney Spears.
Yeah.
But, you know, keep it in the music biz. Another news that we saw this week, Tupac's estate threatened to sue Drake over the AI generated track. And let me just read you a little bit about this. So Tupac's estate is taking legal action against Drake for using an AI generated voice resembling Tupac's in his recent diss track against Kendrick Lamar, calling it tailor-made freestyle. The estate's lawyer, Howard King, has issued a cease and desist letter to Drake, demanding the removal of the track from all platforms, citing a violation of Tupac's publicity rights and blatant abuse of his legacy. The estate is seeking damages, including all profits from the track, due to its unauthorized use and the reputational harm it caused or it may cause. Well, first of all, have you heard the track?
No.
Bro, the track is pretty lit. And basically is Drake dissing, it's a diss track towards Kendrick Lamar, but he uses AI-generated Tupac's voice and Snoop Dogg. Mm-hmm. And it was low-key genius because he's going at Kendrick with two West Coast rappers, which, of course, Kendrick Lamar is from L.A. But he's using, like, these West Coast legends, their voices, to pretty much say to Kendrick, Kendrick, you got to respond. You got to do something. You can't just let Drake do this. So Drake is really trolling him on a next level when it comes to this. But if you listen to the track, I mean, you can see, I mean, it sounds like Drake. I mean, I'm sorry. It sounds like Tupac for sure. And it also sounds like Snoop. But the cadence and the flow of the song, of the lyrics, you can kind of tell that Drake wrote them. And he's the one, you know, actually rapping it over those voices. But it was pretty genius. And I mean, I think it's all in good sport. So I don't know that they should be really going after Drake like that.
My humble opinion, I don't really blame Tupac Estate, because I feel like Tupac is a legend and he's iconic. And so I think it would have been fair if Drake would have reached out and got permission before he wanted to use, you know, the Tupac AI, out of respect. Because it'd have been different if the man was living, but he's been dead for what, almost 20 some years, if not longer.
Yeah, so, I think he died in 1999, 1995, yeah, somewhere around there.
So he should, that just show you that this generation don't have respect. Because to me, I feel like he should have reached out and got permission, or at least say, hey, I got this hot track. It's gonna, and to get to whoever's over that to say, okay, look, this is what we're doing. Out of respect, you know, because the man is not here, you know?
Yeah.
I think he should have. So he deserved to be.
What about Snoop? Because Snoop is also on the record. And I
feel the same way about Snoop.
Well, Snoop was funny because Snoop put out a video on his Instagram. He's acting like all surprised. Yeah. Like, why is everybody hitting me up in the middle of the night?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or whatever. He doesn't understand what's going on.
I did see.
But even though he did that, like, I think he low-key knew. Like, yeah. I almost feel like he said, okay, go ahead, nephew. Do your thing.
And that's all fair. Like, that's cool. If Snoop would have hit up Drake and said, yeah, I can vibe with this, that's fine.
Yeah.
But you did even give the respect to Tupac's people to say, hey, well, I'm gonna do this, I'm gonna do that, and just let you know I'm gonna use a Tupac AI.
Yeah.
You
know, which so. I don't really think he's making money out of it anyway, because
it's like, to me, I don't even think it's about the money, it's about the respect.
Yeah. Yeah, well, yeah, they probably felt some type of way. So. But you know, like, I think it was maybe 2 weeks ago we talked about this a little bit when the whole Kendrick thing when J. Cole had responded or whatever.
Right.
And I remember you mentioning that it was all for clicks and just to get social media attention, which I felt like it was like legit beef, and I still do. But what I thought was interesting in a recent interview, the baby was talking about how some rapper reached out to him and was like, bro, people are beefing. Let's pretend we're beefing at each other.
I saw that on TikTok, yeah.
And I was like, wow.
I'm telling you, man. Because it's weird. If you notice when Chris Brown and...
Quavo.
And then his album dropped.
Whose album?
Chris Brown.
Oh, he just dropped an album?
Yeah.
Oh, I didn't realize it.
He dropped an R&B album maybe a couple days after that. And now he got his own slides. He got his own, like... Slides for the summer.
Oh yeah.
So it's almost like he does this stuff. Wait, not just him, but to get their name in your mouth and get you in your mind. It's like a chant, you know. So now you on my tongue. Like when I go to work, I'm gonna mention you, or you're gonna be in my podcast. You're gonna be in my playlist. And then I go to my social media. I'm gonna look up certain things, and boom, there go Chris Brown. Then it goes to slides. Oh yeah, this gonna be the vibe for the summer. Okay. So I'm going to go ahead and order a pair, you know? But it's almost like he had to do like a 12 play, you know, started from the front in the beginning, like start this beef. No one's going to be hot. It's going to be fire. And it's going to get all this type of like stunts, all type of views. People going to be into him, drop his album. Now he got his slides out. And they're very affordable.
Oh, which yeah?
I'll probably get me a pair.
You get your pair?
Yeah, they were $65.
I ain't seen them. I'll have to check them out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I'm thinking either $65 or $75. Affordable.
Yeah, I mean, I definitely believe the baby in that regard, that people are just trying to like manufacture some beef. But the one with Kendrick and Drake, that's definitely real, I think.
Yeah.
And
I do think some of them could be real, but there are some just like, you know what, we're going to steal some of this shine, because we're not going to sit back and allow two artists to go in to get all this heat. Let me stir something. Let me stir the pot a little bit.
Yeah.
Let me shed a light, you know. So.
Yeah. Well, you know, moving on to the next story, we're going to keep it here in the music biz, hip-hop biz. But, you know, did you hear about the whole Meg Stallion thing? Meg Stallion's being accused of harassment by her cameraman. This is a story from today, I think. Today, the publication. But Emilio Garcia, a former personal cameraman of Meg Thee Stallion, has filed a lawsuit alleging harassment and hostile work environment. The lawsuit details an incident where Garcia was trapped in a moving vehicle with Meg Thee Stallion in a foreign country, during which she was engaged in sexual activity with another woman beside him. Garcia claims he was told not to never discuss what he saw, and later faced fat shaming insult and change in his pay structure that reduced his earnings. The lawsuit accuses Meg Thee Stallion of sexual harassment, fat shaming, and creating a toxic work environment, leading to Garcia's emotional distress and financial losses. So when you heard this lawsuit against Meg, what you make of that?
Hilarious. I think it's funny. Fat shaming. I mean, I don't know, man. I think people just bored, man.
Well, what I thought was interesting is that, you know, he says that he was forced to watch Meg Thee Stallion have sex with another girl in the back of a car. And I'm like, what's the problem? Why are you upset, bro? Like, you get to enjoy the show.
Yeah.
Like what's the issue here? Like, I mean, and
unless he was religious. Maybe it could have been against his, made him feel uncomfortable. Maybe he was a married man. I mean, it's a lot could have played into that. If this guy was married and you don't know what kind of spirit that it could have planted inside of him. Because could you work for your boss after seeing it that night?
Oh, I would almost guarantee that he's not. If he's going to foreign countries and doing all this and that, I'm pretty sure, he's not married. He might be gay, but I don't know that, you know, he's married. Cause I mean, most of those people, when they're in those kind of jobs, you know, they're not really
how much he was making. That's the real thing. It ain't about the story about what the two girls were doing or what about him. I want to know what kind of benefits come with that. I want to know, like,
well, the benefits is you get to travel all over the world.
I'm talking about, like, 401k. Is there insurance? What kind of pay I'm getting? What kind of incentives?
Well, he did say that his pay structure was changed and he got a reduction in his earnings after the fact. But I mean, I don't know what a personal photographer makes. I would imagine at the very least six figures, I would think.
Yeah.
I mean, especially if you're going to be with that person 24/7, everywhere they go, you're not just taking pictures and video, but you got to be on the back end editing and doing all this stuff. Probably, doing social media for them. Maybe, I don't know. But I just thought it was kind of whack. And the fact that he was upset that she was quote unquote fat shaming him. Like, bro, if you got to lose weight, and they're calling you out on it, like, be a man about it and be like, all right, I'll probably need to lose weight.
Yeah.
You know, it's like,
the world's so sensitive.
Yeah, man. It's like this whole body positivity thing. It's just gone kind of crazy where, you know, I don't know the details of it, but I saw something even today where I want to say it was the University of UCLA. In their one of their classes or inside their curriculum of their medical school, you know, pretty much normalizing obesity and saying that, you know, this is the way you are, and you know, we should just accept that as a normal way of life without taking any considerations of the potential health complication of it, especially long term. So it's just kind of dangerous, man, when when you see some of these stuff. So
yeah,
for me, dude, just, you know, quit being a punk. Just suck it up and like lose the weight.
Right.
Yeah. And quit being so upset about seeing some, I don't know, two naked chicks in the back of a car.
Yeah.
But the thing
that
is,
biggest down of all people.
Of all people. That's my point.
And my question is, who was the other chick?
Oh, yeah.
That's what I want to know.
Yeah. I mean, it probably some, one of her friends or perhaps some random model or who knows.
It's probably, I would think it's somebody she probably met.
Yeah. Really, it might be somebody in her crew or who knows.
Eye candy.
Yeah. Yeah. It's just bizarre, man. And the thing is that nowadays you can just sue anybody for anything.
Yeah.
And just to make some money and get your name out there. It's just, you know, I don't like it. But it's definitely something that we got to pay attention to, I guess. But, you know, I think you talked to me about this trend or this thing that's going on TikTok, all these videos going around. I know we're in that time of the year where it's prom season and a lot of kids are graduating high school and going to their proms. But right now, if you go on TikTok, there's like all these videos of kids going to prom and like just wearing like the most lavish outfits. I mean, they're like dripped out from head to toe, you know, rolling into school in freaking Maybachs and and like luxury cars. It's just kind of crazy to me to think, you know, because I remember growing up and, you know, like when I was in high school and going to prom, like, you know, I had a little, now granted, for the time, it was pretty cool, a little towns car that I rented. It cost me like $300 to rent it out for the night. So me and my date could go, because at the time I didn't have a license. So I had to get dropped off, but I figured, well, I just get someone to drop us off. And I was able to rent out, not a limo, but it was a town's car with a chauffeur to drop us off.
So you had a own personal Uber. And yeah, then you know you had Uber.
Yeah. So for me back then, that was huge. But now what these kids are doing?
Man, I'll tell you, bro, when I went to the prom, we didn't even care about the fashion. Like we had a tux, my date had a dress, and it was all about coming together with our friends, having a good time, taking these pictures, and we were fresh. Now, don't get me wrong. Now we were fresh. You can cut cheese. we was to the death fresh. All of our whole group was hot, but back then, that was a big deal. Like, we all had a limousine. We all pulled out, and just the grand entrance is walking in. That was cool. But when I go on social media today, in today's world, and I'm seeing these kids in between the ages of 16 to 18, 19 years old, the women got on mesh dresses, pasties. You can see straight through their dress. Only thing that's covering up is their vagina or their nipples. And they got these long trains out of the wedding. You know, the guys are taking pictures with the girls standing on the dress.
Yeah, I see some of that.
You got stacks of money all around you. Like, who are your parents? Like, how did they co-sign for that? Like, if that was my daughter or my son, but not really my son, but my daughter, you go into a prom dressed with a mesh sequence dress on with a train about a mile long and you're shaking your tail.
Yeah.
And you only 16. And then on top of that, you posting these pictures all on social media and not knowing who's going to look at it, who's going to see it, who are you entertaining as far as your views. I have a problem. I think that's not good, you know?
Well, you know? Are we just kind of showing our age, or is it, or, you know, because obviously they're taking it to another level that obviously we didn't grow up doing ourselves.
Yeah.
Or is it, or are they essentially, like you said, doing too much? I feel like regardless of the times, I feel like a lot of it seems a bit much, you know. And the thing about it is like, I'm sure they watch celebrities and they watch
the influence,
you know, the influence from, you know, like red carpets and stuff like that. Because you can see the influence in the way they're dressing and everything. And I mean, at the same time, you know, I'm not going to go too hard on them because at the same time, they're 16, they're 17. I mean, what we're going to expect from them. But at the same time, like you said, you know, it's, you know, the parents are sort of, you know, gassing this up. So, of course, it's because they're the ones spending that kind of money. They ain't got that kind of money. It's the parents, you know, shelling that money to, to make, you know, to pay for these outfits and this stretched out Maybach.
That's what got me. You got Bentleys. You got all these exotic, nice cars in these photos. And like, I'm looking like, and the car is great. Like, I think that's a great. Then I saw one when one guy came in on an airplane. He came in on a helicopter.
What?
Now, I'm not going to lie. That was fire. And he did that. He had his date was in front, and then he was sitting inside of the helicopter.
Yeah.
And I thought that was just very creative, and it was a lot of style. You could tell.
Yeah.
And I saw some was like a production company. Like, you got a whole production company.
Yeah.
As if you are some huge celebrity already.
Yeah.
But you were just somebody, and you're probably failing your grades. You probably barely pass anyway.
Well, they're trying to get their TikTok account up. And
shh, please.
But, dude, that reminded me.
Yes, I already know what you're about to say.
What?
Joe Biden.
No. But we can get to that here in a little bit. But no, I was thinking about when we're talking about the guy that came in the helicopter. Dude, man, I saw this video where this couple was getting married, and the husband was waiting for the bride, and the bride was coming in a helicopter, and she was in the helicopter with her brother, the cameraman and the pilot. Mm-hmm. So the cameraman is pretty much recording her and her brother in the back seat, and you can see them. And two, out of nowhere, like, the conditions just went bad, and like, you could see the pilot's trying to, like, you know, steer the helicopter from like falling off the sky. And next thing you know, they start crashing, and it crashes, bro. It crashes, and like, the camera is kind of taking all the action. And then once they hit the ground, like, the camera is still on, but you can't see nothing else. There's nothing else around, but the camera's still rolling. And I just, when I saw it, I was like, dang, can you imagine, like, being that groom at the altar? And like, you've been sitting, you're waiting, and then like, all of a sudden, like, what's taking so long? And then eventually someone comes to you and says, dude, that the helicopter crashed and no one survived, and you're sitting there trying to get about to be married. That's wild, bro. That's wild.
Yeah, that's devastating. That's life changing. I mean, that's tragic.
Yeah, I mean, I, you know, I don't know who posted that video, but it was just you know, seeing that clip, I was just like, wow. Dang, that's intense.
Yeah, it is.
But yeah, man, you know, we're talking about TikTok into what you alluded to. Yeah, it looks like President Biden went ahead and signed the bill to ban TikTok.
Yeah.
So apparently, TikTok has 12 months to divest. In other words, sell its 20% that that ByteDance, or the Chinese company ByteDance, owns. They have 12 months to sell that off to some other investors. Otherwise, it gets completely banned. I'm sure there's going to be plenty of people out there trying to buy it, because there's a lot of money in that. And I even heard something about ByteDance probably trying to sell it without the algorithm. which probably the algorithm is probably the biggest thing that made TikTok because of how, I don't know, how it like shows you things and keeps you engaged and all of that. But there's been a lot of conversations around that because some people feel like you're taking away a social media platform that a lot of people feel like they're able to, you know, exercise free speech and kind of get their thoughts out there, not to mention the money they're making through different like TikTok shops and stuff like that. And so there's been very mixed reviews about it. And I'll be honest with you, I'm kind of mixed about it too. And I feel like if anything, they should be making cyber privacy laws so that our data is not stolen or messed with across all platforms, not just TikTok.
Right.
But the fact that they're targeting TikTok, a lot of people feel like, you know, they're targeting it because a lot of, you know, quote unquote free speech is being said or is being used for a lot of free speech on the platform that you may not necessarily get away with in other platforms like Instagram or Facebook where you might get shut down.
Yeah.
What do you think?
I mean, I enjoy TikTok. I'm not going to lie to you. I do.
Yeah.
And I don't think it's going to get shut down. I think somebody's going to potentially going to end up buying it. And it's going to keep it going.
Yeah.
I hate the fact, you know, of like counseling it because if they get rid of TikTok, something that's gonna come. It's gonna be something behind it. You know, but I don't think it's going nowhere. I really don't.
Yeah, I think they'll be able to find a buyer. But what's crazy is that I'll be interested to see if the same people that were pushing for it to be sold off are gonna be the first ones to try to invest on it, to make a profit out of shutting them down. And then, of course, I'll be interested to see whether the algorithm or the way you're able to say things on there changes, because that's the other thing that people are worried about, that you're not going to be able to say things on there as freely because now it's owned by somebody else that it's more controlled by, quote unquote, the government or whatnot, or the powers that be. So anyways, that's to be determined. But yeah, man, kind of keep it, you know, in the sort of legal world. I had a couple of things that I wanted to show you. So there was a Louisiana man that was sentenced to physical castration plus 50 years after raping a 14-year-old girl. Did you hear about this story? So for the people that don't know, let me just read this to you. Glenn Sullivan Sr. from Springfield. I guess he's from Springfield, but he was sentenced in Louisiana. Was sentenced to 50 years in prison for raping a 14-year-old girl multiple times, a crime to which he pleaded guilty along with his prison sentence. Sullivan will undergo physical castration, a rare sentence pushed due to the severity of his crimes and his criminal history. The physical castration, which is an option under Louisiana law for certain rape offenses, will occur no later than 1 week prior to his release. This case is notable as it is the first instance of a court ordering physical castration in the area, according to the Assistant District Attorney Brad Cassio. So basically they're going to cut his balls off basically.
Yeah.
So that he, I guess, doesn't do this, does this again. But on top of that, they're giving him 50 years of prison time. So do you feel now, granted, you know, let's just be clear. He was convicted of rape of a 14-year-old, which he raped multiple times. So it wasn't just like one time, multiple times, and got her even pregnant. He got her pregnant. And when they did the DNA of, I guess the baby, and him. That's how they realized that it was a match, and he was guilty. And of course, he confessed as well. So, do you think that justice was served?
Honestly, no.
No.
No. I mean, because that's that 15-year-old child. She got to live the rest of her life.
Yeah.
And not only that, she have a kid behind it. So at some point, she got to sit down and tell her child how she came about. You know?
Yeah.
I think that really plays a big part. That's sad. I mean, not just once, but multiple times.
Yeah, that's crazy, bro.
So
that's
crazy. I have so many questions. Like, how do it get to the point where it goes first, second, third time? Like, well, how do we get to that point?
With a lot of assault, you know, sexual assault victims, they don't always come out when it happens.
Right.
So a lot of times, you know, they may go years without saying anything. And in this case, being so young, I don't know if he was threatening her in other ways, if she said something or...
Like, where was her parents?
Well, that's a good question. I don't know. That's a very good question, but...
That's why, to me, it goes back. You have to have a relationship with your kids.
Oh, absolutely.
When things like this is going on, especially the 15-year-old girl, that her world is changed forever.
Yeah.
You know, and I'm not saying that the parents neglected her or any case like that, but if that was my child or my wife's daughter, I do believe at some point you will have to know that there are some signs of somewhere where she was acting different, she was shut off, she was standoffish, the music she was listening to, her style of clothes she was wearing, was she even eating? Yeah. Did she neglect herself? I'm pretty sure there was something in her life
that changed.
And if that was my daughter, not that she was 5 or 7, but 15. So I would really pay attention to her, like something strange. And I would have to know her and know that, okay, something is off. And at that point, I would have to sit down with my wife and figure out, okay, something's off. But either you need to take her out and see if she can open up to you or whatever, because she's crying out from the inside to me.
Yeah. You know,
I couldn't imagine being married and have a daughter that age and being molested or raped several times, not once, but several times, and living in the same house. I'm coming home from work, my wife's in there cooking dinner, and your daughter up there in her room and just crying her eyes out or just crying silently because she don't know how to get out.
Yeah. Yeah. And I don't know all the details of the story, so I will be, interesting to know how.
Yeah, I would want to know that too.
You know how they actually found out.
Right.
I think part of the reason they found out was because of the DNA
right.
evidence, but and eventually his conviction.
Right.
But you know, in going over this whole situation, I came to realize that even though the men are castrated, whether it's chemically by giving them medications to lower their testosterone levels, or obviously, you know, taking their testes away, so they don't produce testosterone anymore. And the idea is that by castrating them, their libido will decrease, and they won't have this urge to do that anymore.
Right.
But the problem is that one, yeah, they may take out your balls, but your penis is still intact. That nothing happens to that. And then I guess in the cases where you have someone that's committed sexual assault or rape for that matter, that does their time and goes back out into the community, like even if you castrate them, they could take, you know, pills or testosterone injections that could very well bring up their testosterone levels back to normal, and they could potentially, you know, attack someone else in the future.
That's why I said I don't feel like Justin would serve.
And now, granted, he's gonna serve 50 years, but
how old was this guy? You know,
I don't know. I don't know if I got the age. He's an older guy. I looked at his picture. He's probably looked like he was probably like in his 50s, late 40s, maybe 50s.
Well, I will tell you this, and you can bet on this. When he's in jail,
yeah,
they're gonna give it to him as raw as they could. And ask him how he liked this.
Yeah.
And I guarantee you that. And to be honest with you, I think when they made the decision to do what they're going to do to him and that he's going to be in jail for 50 years, they know he's not going to make it 50 years.
Maybe because not even 50 days.
Probably. He's not. Exactly. He might even make it 30 days because those inmates going to get the swift of the story and a 15-year-old girl several times and with a kid involved. Yeah, they're going to handle him. They're taking him to the streets.
Yeah. And
I'm just being real.
And let me read you this. In 2005, there was a study done that was printed in the Journal of the American Academy of Psychology and the Law. And they found that there was a low incidence of sexual recidivism among castrated offenders, but they cautioned that sexual desire can persist after the orchidectomy or cutting the balls off. They also found that between 0 to 10% of sexual offenders who are surgically castrated repeat their crimes. In other words, what they're saying is that even if you castrate them, there's still a chance that they may still do something crazy out there. So to your point, obviously this guy's never going to get out of jail. But like you said, he's probably going to get dealt with in prison.
Yeah.
So I think that the government and the judicial system should do, which the inmates are going to do anyway. I think that every single person that commits such a gruesome, violent act, especially on a child, they should get the death sentence. That is the only thing. We don't need them around. I think they should just put them away. Like, why put them in jail on our tax dollars to take care of him?
Right.
You know, that type of behavior, that type of cruelty, and especially when you're someone like him who did it repeatedly, I'm like, the hell with castration. Let's just, you know, give them the chair and call it a day. That's right. What I think.
Yeah. I probably can agree with you because that's just sad. You know, like another question I would have, another thought that I would have is like, who is his parents? Like, how does the siblings, if he even had any siblings, like, how do they feel about this? Like, they had to have known that he had some type of an issue as he got older. You know, like, did he come around to the dinner? Did he come around for, like, Christmas? Was he ever married? Did he have an issue as he growing up? Was he bullied when he was in high school when he was coming up? Or was he in college? Like, what incidents that happened in his past that made him get to the place today where he feel like he has to confine in a 15-year-old girl?
Yeah.
That's sad. Right?
Yeah, it's crazy. But, you know, there's even, and this is crazy that this is the world we're living now. There are people out there trying to almost like normalize this whole pedophilia thing in a way. And they're trying to rebrand it, and they don't want them to be called pedophiles. They're wanting them to be called MAPS. Have you heard about that? MAPS, minor attracted person, in order to sort of soften, you know, this perversion that's going on. So instead of calling them pedophiles, now they're being called MAPS or minor attracted persons or people. And there's even some people out there, like, trying to say, just like someone can be gay and attracted to someone of the same sex, or someone can be a lesbian, or someone can be, you know, have different sexual orientations or be bisexual, lesbian, gay. This is just another form of sexual attraction that we shouldn't look down upon these people. And I'm like, no, we're not going to normalize this. Mm-mm. We're not going to make this like, you know, like every other thing that's out here. And then all of a sudden, you know, this is going to be okay and be normalized and people to be okay with. So that's just some of the things that's kind of starting to brew out there. But I'm glad that, you know, for whatever it's worth, you know, this guy is going to get his, you know, his time in jail and everything else that he's got coming. But I think that hopefully something like this, maybe it'll put the fear in people to not do these things. But I still don't think it's enough, as clearly some of the data suggests.
Yeah, that's crazy.
But in just another legal matter, which I thought was kind of wild. Now, obviously, we all like to travel. We all like to take our vacations here and there, to the Caribbean or other places, Europe or whatnot. But this next story that I wanted to share with you guys and get your take on it, Q, it was about an American tourist who's facing possibly 12 years in prison after they found some ammo in his luggage while he was in Turks and Caicos. So let me just read you this right quick. So American tourist Ryan Watson faces a potential 12-year prison sentence in Turks and Caicos after airport security found hunting ammunition in his carry-on bag. This incident has underscored a change in the local legal stance as of February, where even tourists leaving the country can face prison time for possessing firearms or ammunition. And this is a shift from the previous policy allowing tourists to pay a fine. The report also mentions another tourist, Brian Heirich, something like that, who experienced similar circumstances, highlighting the severe implications for tourists caught with ammunition under the new law. The U.S. State Department has issued a travel alert advising travelers to check their luggage to avoid such incidents. So I think they found like maybe like four to six rounds in his carry-on. He didn't have a gun. He just had the bullets that in his carry-on. And whenever he was leaving Turks and Caicos, the security, I guess, saw it or found it, arrested him. I think he spent like 8 days in jail and then he was released. But now he's awaiting trial and he's looking at potentially doing 12 years. Isn't that crazy?
Lock his tail up.
What?
Yes. Lock him up, bro. Lock him up because he should know better. He should know better. This is my opinion, my humble opinion. First of all, this is 2024, so you have to be mindful of everything you do. So why would you travel to a whole different part of the world with bullets in your bag? Now, I think that if you had like license or some type of certification that you were some type of a bounty hunter or something, or assassin, whatever the case may be. I mean, listen, I've seen movies. I'm just saying. So you should, that'd be different. But if I'm going through luggage and I'm going through, they checking my luggage and they see these bullets, you're going to think, okay, what's this guy up to? Like, where is he going? Or what's the hidden agenda? So I think they did the right thing. Now, I don't know about the 12 years. That might be a bit far, but I would want to know what was the reason why he would carry those bullets. Like, what was he going? Like,
well, what I think probably happened, and I don't know, obviously, but I'm thinking he probably had the bullets from a different trip where he went hunting with his buddies or whatever, and then now he's going on a new vacation trip. He didn't clear out his bag completely.
That's his fault.
And he ends up. But here's the thing, though.
Ain't no thing.
No, but hear me out. Like, he made it to Turks and Caicos with those ammunitions. What the hell happened to TSA? How did they miss that? How did TSA let him get all the way over there with those bullets to begin with?
They said they didn't want that smoke. They didn't want no smoke.
I mean, if you really want to get real with it, I think we failed him. I think TSA failed him because, like, how are you going to let him fly over there? You know, and my thing is, like, if I was him, like, if I got to do 12 years because of your incompetence, like, I'm suing TSA. Since everybody's suing everybody, I'm suing TSA and be like, bro, y'all are the reason I'm going to jail because y'all didn't do y'all's job.
Yeah, I don't think he should get locked up for 12 years, but he should get a huge fine because he should have known better.
And that's why I agree with you.
Like, he should have known better. It doesn't matter if I take a trip tomorrow. You're going to check your bags. I do. Every time we book trips, I always go through my bags. And what you always say, tear off your old luggage. Tear off your old tickets. Tear them off. And you're going to always go through your bag and see what's in the bag. Because I have left, like, socks or something I found, a souvenir that I forgot to take out. I left inside my luggage. I took it out, but bullets, bro?
Yeah.
Like, bullets? Like, where you going? What are you doing? What you up to? Like, that's strange. I can't imagine. Could you imagine you being at the airport or wherever they're going, and you behind this guy, and they open the suitcase up, and there's bullets?
Well, I've whenever I've gone through the airport here in town, like, they'll show you, like, things that they found on people's luggage as they're passing through. And a lot of them were, like, guns. Yeah. They found several guns on people as they were trying to pass through TSA. But that the fact that he made it there, like I said,
yeah,
with
true.
Those bullets, I'm like, how much is TSA really, how well they're actually doing their job?
They probably on TikTok.
You know, and probably. And of course, like you said, if you want to give them a fine, I understand. But they recently changed their laws, but I think it's a bit ridiculous.
Yeah, 12 years is a little bit much.
Yeah, but at the same time, you do have to be careful when you go overseas because you don't know what kind of laws these people have. Like, you know, like, people that travel to the Middle East, like Dubai and places like that, like, you can't be seen, like, showing public affection because you might get locked up for a year.
Yeah.
So you have to be kind of aware of where you're going and some of the laws and customs of that place because, yeah, the fact that this guy might do 12, and I think over there they make you do the whole thing. It's not like here where you might get out early because of,
dang, that's a 12-year vacation. Oof. That's what we doing now. Okay.
Yeah. Well, I mean, I don't think he's gonna enjoy that very much. I guarantee you one thing, he ain't going back there anymore.
Sir. Man. He is definitely on the flag.
But dude, do you ever go on Reddit?
No.
No. Reddit is fascinating, man. Like, you can go on Reddit and they have, like, all these, like, subgroups for, like, different things, you know? But I find some of them interesting, and, like, I came across this subreddit that's called Am I the A-Hole? That's the subreddit name, Am I the A-Hole? And basically people would just, you know, put down different personal stories And they basically they want to know if they're the a-hole for what they're doing. And they just want people's opinions and thoughts on it. So I came across this one, and I wanted to share it with you and our audience here and see what you thought about it. So I'm going to read you a little bit about what this guy wrote. So this guy, he's 28, and he's talking about his girlfriend, who's 29. And he goes on to say that we've been in a relationship for 4 years. It went really nice. I think this guy is foreign because some of his, you know, writing is kind of wonky. But he goes on to say, she was a very nice girlfriend, which was caring, loving for me. Of course, I was the same with her. We never had any major problems in our relationship, except a few flaws. 3 months ago, I proposed to her. I took her to a restaurant, like a normal, dinner out. I was so excited and a bit nervous. Although I knew she will say yes, I took the ring box out and opened it on the table, proposing to her. She was shocked at first and was really excited like me. So shortly, she said yes and everything went perfect afterwards. 1 month ago, we started planning for our wedding. We picked a golf course for the place. Even the invitations were printed and was ready for distribution. When the thing came to the legal side, I wanted to sign a prenup, and she was not really eager for it. According to the prenup, assets would be divided based on what both sides brought to the marriage. I said, I don't mean she's loving me for my money or thinking like it. I said, it's only for avoiding unneeded conflicts in case of anything. But still, she said, I'm planning for the divorce just at the beginning, and I don't trust her. The argument went on for a few days, and things became even worse. Eventually, I canceled it all. She wanted to talk with me, and when I said it's over, she started crying, wanting to continue our relationship. A few days ago, we met again, and I didn't demand anything from her, but she gave me the ring I bought her, saying she accepts that it's over and wishes the best. We still didn't talk after that. I never called or tried to go to get in contact with her, neither did she. As I said, she never was a bad person or a gold digger who would just care for my money, but she was not one of them. If she was not one of them, then why would she reject signing a prenup? And then he wanted to also mention, since many people were asking, she has her own work. And of course, I never plan on her being a stay-at-home mom. And speaking about the assets that were earned during the marriage, he was planning on having them divided based on the percentage of their income, but she still rejected it. So basically, this guy is saying that, you know, hey, we've been together for 4 years, proposes, they're planning the wedding. And he's like, hey, listen, I love you, but I will feel more comfortable if we sign this prenup. And she's like, no, you're pretty much, you know, setting us for failure and divorce by us having signing this. And basically, the relationship ends afterwards because obviously she didn't want to sign it and felt like he didn't trust her. So my question is he the a-hole?
No.
You don't think so?
No.
Okay. No. Well, what do you think? Well, let me ask you this. Was it okay for him to ask for a prenup? Okay.
Yeah, I don't think that's a problem.
How do you feel about prenups in general?
Well, I think they okay to have because you don't know what the future going to hold. You know, I've known people get married and things go well and then boom, downhill it goes. So I just feel like if you started a successful business or if you got something great, and it's a huge string of income coming to the house that you had before you met this particular certain person. You know, so if you built this brand from the ground up with your own bare fingers and you work hard for it.
Yeah.
And so you meet somebody, hey, you gotta protect yourself. So I just feel like if their relationship is serious and is built on all the right foundation, is solid, having a asking for a prenup should not break up the relationship. If there's an issue with the relationship because you asked for a prenup, then you had a hidden agenda.
So you think that maybe she had a secret agenda, you think?
I think so.
Well, obviously we don't know how much money.
Right.
We don't know how much money this guy made.
Maybe she was insulted.
She was what?
Maybe she felt insulted or something.
Well, that's the thing that I feel like some women may feel offended when you bring something like a prenup, because it almost feels to them like you're dooming the marriage, like you're pretty much saying, you know, it's over from the start because, you know, you're having me sign this. Granted, I will say, I think that that's something that should have been talked way before they got engaged.
I think so too.
Way before they decided to plan for a wedding.
Right.
And maybe she felt some type of way because
curveball.
Here we are 4 years in and now you want to spring this up. So, you know, I can maybe, you know, give her that. But the fact that he's trying to, you know, perhaps, you know, protect some of his assets or whatever, then I would think that, you know, you shouldn't have a problem with the prenup.
Right.
But even when you look at it, like you said, you know, if you build up a successful business or whatever, you know, and it's like that Chris Rock joke from back in the day. He was talking about, you know, if I have $10 million and we get divorced and I got to give you half, like, okay, that's cool. Like, you know, I'm not starving. But if I make $60,000 and I got to give you $30,000, someone's going to have to die.
Yeah.
You know, that's pretty much everything. I mean, you're pretty much poor at that point. But here's the thing. People have to understand that for some people, a prenup makes sense. And I want to show you something. I want to kind of go over some of these so you know, especially men. When men want to have a prenup or bring a prenup into the conversation, I think that nowadays, some men are looking into these things that I'm about to say. Did you know that between 40 and 50% of marriages end in divorce here in the United States? That means that out of 100, damn close to 50 of them are going to end up in divorce no matter what. Okay? And if you get married a second time, like this is your second time, your second go around, the chances of that of ending in divorce goes up to like 60%. So it doesn't get any better the second time around. So you have to be mindful of that. And then when it comes to divorce, women initiate the divorces 70% of the time. In other words, the majority of the time when a couple is getting divorced, the woman is the one that goes to the court and gets the whole thing started. So if you're a man that of status or whatever, you've got all these assets, houses, whatever, you know, businesses or whatever, and you know already ahead of time that regardless of how pretty and how everything she is, there's a 50-50 chance this is going to work, and there's a 70% chance that she's going to be the one that does it, right? And then On top of that, 10% of marriages that end up in divorce, the spouse gets alimony. In other words, you spousal support. You got to support them. And in the case, now 10% doesn't sound like a lot, but if you end up being one of those people that has to pay alimony, alimony gets paid at 40% of your earnings. So if I make $100, you're getting 40 of those. If I make $100,000 a year, you get 40 of those. Now, I'm not saying that there aren't circumstances where the woman doesn't deserve the alimony or whatever, especially if she was a stay-at-home mom and she didn't have the opportunity to make money, start a career or whatever. But my understanding is that some of these alimonies are provisional in the sense that you have to pay them like half of the time that you've been married. So, for example, if you've been married for 10 years, you got to pay alimony for five years. So basically half of the amount of time you were married. So you've got that. And then on top of that, here in the United States, 80% of child custody cases are awarded to the mother. So in other words, if you're a guy, chances are you're not gonna see your kids. And out of those 80% of cases that end up in the court system where the child's custody goes to the mother, you're looking at around 43% of those children never see their dad at all. Like basically they're growing up without a father. So if you're a man that it's about to get into a relationship with someone or thinking about marrying them, and you're looking at some of these numbers, I can see why someone will want to get a prenup and be like, nah, baby girl, we're going to have to like sign up something before we go any further, because, you know, the odds ain't really, they're kind of stacked up against me a little bit. But I'm not advocating for prenups. I'm not saying every man in the world should get one or should do one. I mean, that's an individual choice, you know. Personally, when I got married, I didn't feel the need to do one. I mean, I'm not rich by no means. I mean, I'm just a little, you know, I'm a simple, humble servant here. And whatever I earn, whatever my wife earns, like, you know, we share it, we invest it together, like, and you know, I don't see myself or us you know, heading towards divorce or anything like that. But so therefore for me divorce is really not an option. It's not something that for me, it's in the cards. For me, it's about working it out, you know, through thick and thin, through the good and the bad. I mean, for what it's worth, you know, I'm with it till the end, you know, just like Will and Jada, for what it's worth. But yeah, but for the people that are out there, or the man that look at some of these statistics, if they felt like they wanted to do it and they have a lot to lose, if they don't, I don't blame them for it.
Right.
You know? Yeah. It's just one of those things. But yeah, I mean, I just thought it was an interesting story. This could also play the other way around. I mean, the woman could be the one making the money, and if things go south, she's got to pay out. Yeah. But unfortunately, we don't see that as often, right? You know. Hang on one second. But anyways, sorry guys. But yeah, man. So those are the stories that I had for today. I don't know if you got anything else for the people, man.
No, but I will say this is something that you hear today and that triggers you. Feel free to leave a comment. let us know your thoughts and your point of view.
Yeah, yeah, definitely hit us up in the socials. We're definitely on YouTube, TikTok. We're on X, Instagram, Facebook. You can find us on all those platforms. Read Between the Lines podcast or RBTL podcast. Just make sure to follow us there. Like, share, comment, and we'll see you guys on the next one. Peace out.